Turn in our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, please. Matthew chapter number 9. And in Matthew chapter number 9, we're going to begin reading from verses 35 till the end of the chapter, which is verse 38. So let's begin reading then, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this time to be together, to fellowship once again around thy holy word. Father, I know there's something in these verses that you want us to know and to understand. I just pray the Holy Spirit of God, the author of your word, the Holy Bible, would speak to us collectively and individually. Help our hearts to be open, Father, to receive the engrafted word of God. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way during this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want us to look at some things tonight in our passage. The main thought that we want to look at this evening is the prayer in verse number 38, the prayer. This is what Jesus said. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Laborers. So Jesus is saying to pray that the Lord, God the Father, would send forth laborers, amen, into his harvest. But I want you to notice something. First of all, we want to see, that Jesus himself was laboring. We read in verse number 35, did we not? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We see that Jesus was not just idly standing by, as so many Christians do today, and watch the world go to hell, amen. He was busy doing what his Father had sent him to do. Amen. He wasn't watching. He wasn't sitting on the sidelines, but he was actively an active participant in the work of his Father. We also see not only was he just working, but the way he went about it. In verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He just didn't do it, you know, going through the motions. He was moved with compassion. He felt sorry for the multitude because they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. They didn't have a clue. And so most of the world today is that way. They're clueless. They really don't know where they're going when they die. They have no idea. Just go up and ask somebody. Do you know 100% sure if you were to die that you're going to heaven? And of course that person probably will answer you, no, I don't know. Or I'll wait till the time comes and then I'll deal with it, amen? We want to see something else. In verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, that's still very true today. There's a big job out there. There's lots to do. There's lots to do in the work of the Lord. There are many people to be saved. But just back in Jesus' day as there today, there's a lot of work to go around, but very few workers, very few laborers to do the actual work, amen. You know, everybody just wants to do the big stuff, you know, preach, amen. Preach, have a big church. But there's more than that to do, amen. There's a lot of things that the Lord has for you and I to do. It may not be to preach and teach, but whatever it is, he has something for you and I to do, amen. It may be to preach and teach. And because Jesus saw that the harvest was plenteous, there was more work to go around than workers in the work of the Lord, in his Father's work, that he said, pray. He said to the disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need workers, Jesus said. We need laborers. You know, just the word laborers is itself, when you think of the word, you think of someone who does hard work, laborious work, a laborer. Today, when someone speaks of a laborer, it may be someone who, say, does a lot of carpentry. Maybe he's a handyman. You know, maybe he's in demolition or whatever, breaking down buildings and so forth and so on. But you think of very laborious physical labor, whatever it may be. And quite honestly, that's what most of the work of the Lord is. It's hard work. You got to get dirty sometimes. Just like a laborer gets dirty in his work, amen. But that's the key word, the key thought tonight. Laborers. Jesus said, pray that the Father would send laborers. Not people that watch, amen. Or people who do a lot of talking and nothing else. Or the cliche we like to do is the ones that like to do the heavy looking on and not any work. Or people that like to lean on the shovel and not actually take the shovel, amen, and stick it in the dirt, amen. No, God needs laborers. He calls laborers to do his work. In other words, he calls people, he uses people who are not afraid of hard work and not afraid of getting dirty, amen. Are not afraid to take that shovel, amen, and stick it into the dirt and turn it over, amen. Because that's sometimes what you do for the Lord is, you got to turn over that fallow ground. And that ground is hard sometimes. People have never heard the gospel clearly at all in their lifetime. It's like solid ground that's never been broken before. And God needs laborers to take the shovel, take the word of God, amen, and turn the soil with it. Plant the seed, amen. But what I want you to notice, some of the people that God called and used mightily were already laborers, were not afraid of hard work, amen. We're not just people that sat around and did absolutely nothing while others worked, amen. Notice with me, first of all, when God called Moses, look in Exodus chapter 3. What was Moses doing when God called him to lead or deliver the children of Israel out of bondage to Egypt? Look in Exodus chapter 3 with me. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. We read in the word of God. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. What was Moses doing? He wasn't standing idly by, amen. He was tending the sheep. He was hard at work. He was a laborer. Amen. And in fact, it took God 40 years to get the world out of Moses. Because at the time right now that we're looking at in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is approximately 80 years old. And at age 40, we see that he turned away from, he was brought up in the household of Pharaoh, amen. He was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter, amen. But he chose to turn his back on that and suffer with the people of God, with his own kind. He was a Hebrew. But we see that God didn't use him at the time. God had to knock the world out of him. So he sends him, so he goes away, amen. And he goes to Midian. And he tends sheep, amen, for 40 years. This was his training ground. Then God called him. God wanted to see what kind of a worker Moses really was. He said, hey, this is a guy that I can really use. Because he's a laborer. He's not afraid of hard work. Amen. So Moses was already laboring. How about the brothers Peter and Andrew? Look it with me back in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we read in the Bible, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Again, Peter and Andrew were laborers. They were used to hard work. They were commercial fishermen. They would go out on the ships for days at a time, amen. They were used to hard, laborious work. God said, these are men I can use. They're not afraid to get dirty. They're already laboring, amen. I'm just going to change their vocation a little bit, amen. They're going to labor for me. Instead of catching fish, amen, They're going to be fishers, but this time they're going to catch the souls of men and bring them to the Father and tell them the good news and how they can be saved. Amen. The same thing with James and John. Look at in the same chapter of Matthew, verses 21 and 22. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Again, when Jesus called James and John, they were laboring. They weren't sitting idly by. They were able-bodied men, working hard, doing hard physical labor. Again, they were fishermen, like Peter and Andrew. How about the prophet Amos? What was he doing when God called him? Look at an Amos. The prophet Amos with me. The prophet Amos. Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the sons of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. But we read that Amos was among the herdsmen of Tekoa. Again, he was laboring. He was laboring. He was a herdsman. He worked with the cattle, amen. He was someone, again, used to hard physical labor. Not afraid to get himself dirty, amen. Not afraid to roll up his sleeves and pitch in and help others, amen. How about Elisha, the prophet? Elisha, the prophet. The one who replaced Elijah. Looking in 1 Kings with me. 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. What was Elisha doing when God called him? He was plowing. He was plowing. He was working hard, amen. And God said, here's a man that's not afraid of hard work. Here's a man that's used to plowing the earth and breaking up that hard soil. And I'm going to use this prophet to break up the hard hearts of men and to call them to repentance and to come to me. Yes. Elisha was already laboring when God called him. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 with me. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. We read the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit in your trust the true riches? Amen. What Jesus is saying here, amen, if a person cannot be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is the things of this world, which, you know, his job, being there in the job when he's supposed to be, putting 8 hours in like he's supposed to, amen, taking care of his family like he's supposed to be, amen, paying his bills like he's supposed to. If a person cannot be faithful in this, how can I trust that person with the true riches, the things of God? The bottom line, my dear friends, is God calls laborers. He doesn't call the lazy. He doesn't call the person that likes to sit on the sidelines and watch. He doesn't call the idle. See, the problem that we have in so many of our churches today is they're filled with Christians who do nothing but complain and tell others how it should be done, but don't do any actual work themselves, amen. In other words, they want all the authority with none of the responsibility. And then they wonder why God's not using them. Like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They can't understand it. And the reason God's not using them like he's using brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, amen, is because they're not laborers to begin with. Jesus said back in our passage, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, people who are going to consider the cost, amen, that aren't afraid to work, to sacrifice, amen, to roll up their sleeves. Jesus said, I need laborers, because in the prior verse, in verse 37, he got done saying, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He's saying, oh, I got a lot, I've got churches full of people. Amen. But the majority of them are not laborers. They just show up on a Sunday morning. Maybe they want to see how other people are dressed. People come to church for different reasons, but for the right reasons. Amen. Or they only show up when there's a business meeting to cause problems, amen. But they're not there for the day-to-day laboring for the Lord. Jesus said for you and I to occupy till I come. That means to do business for God, to be busy. Amen. Oh, the devil loves it when churches are divided, amen, and are fighting over nothing. You know, what color should we get the carpeting, amen, or whatever it may be. The devil loves that. But what God is looking for his harvest, for his work, is laborers. Again, people who are not afraid of hard work, people that are going to put themselves last and others first, are going to put Jesus first, then others, and then themselves last. Because Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Maybe not on this earth, but in life to come, eternal, amen. Laborers. The question that we need to ask ourselves this evening is, are we laborers? Amen. You know, the work of the Lord is just more than just coming to church or coming to special meetings and getting all, you know, riled up and on fire for God, amen. There's a lot of daily stuff that goes on. Laborers. Amen. Laborers. And when you think of that word, you know, we're not always talking about just, say, going, knocking on doors and sharing the good news of the gospel. Maybe somebody has some kind of a physical impairment and not able to go out door to door or something. But have you ever labored in prayer? Have you ever labored in prayer? Prayer can be labor. When you really try to get a hold of God, amen, that can be labor. I think it says over there, I know it says over there in James. Talks about Elijah. Elijah. And just before it talks about Elijah, it says in James chapter 5 verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then in verse 17, it talks about Elijah, or Elias, which is Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I believe the reason that it says that he was a man of like passion. In other words, he was a human being like you and I. He wasn't anything special. But there's one thing about Elijah. He labored in prayer. Do you think that just happened? That it stopped raining for 3.5 years because, you know, he just prayed? No, he labored in prayer. He got down on his knees, hour upon hour. He rose up early in the morning and got a hold of God and wouldn't let God go, amen, until God answered his prayer. See, we get a wrong idea sometimes of what laboring for the Lord really is. I'm not saying knocking on doors and telling other people about Jesus Christ is not important and handing out gospel tracts. That's all part of it. That is laboring. That is part of laboring. But so is in prayer. Prayer. The Bible is full of things about prayer. Jesus talks about prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing, Paul writes. Pray. Pray. Get a hold of God. And the only way you can do is be laboring. Laboring is to get a hold of God. It's to labor. You can also labor in your study of the Word of God. You know, a lot of people, we get hung up on, well, I've got to read the Bible through every year. Well, that's an admirable goal, and I'm not against that, amen. But we have to do more than just read the Word of God. We have to labor in the Word of God. We have to meditate on it. We have to see what God has to say to us individually. And you can't find that out unless you labor in the Word of God. When's the last time you labored in the Word of God? It's work. The Bible tells us, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're commanded to study, to labor in the Word of God. Not just to meditate it. Meditation is very important. Or to memorize it, that's important. Amen. But to labor, to study. God's not going to call you. Amen. And He may not call you to do something great. He may not call you to win 100 million souls. Amen. Maybe He may just call you to be a faithful wife and mother. Amen. Can you labor? That takes labor. That's a testimony. Maybe He's called you just to be a good provider for your family. You should be. Amen. Be the husband. Amen. Be the father. Amen. Take care of your family the way you're supposed to. Amen. And like we said, if He sees you faithful and little in the unrighteous mammon, then He's going to say, I can use this person. If I can trust him with the material things, then I can hand him with the real true riches. Amen. The spiritual things. The eternal things. Amen. Are you a laborer? Are you a laborer? Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Father, we pray if we're not laboring like we should, we pray that we would. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would show us, would search us. Dear Lord, maybe we've been complaining and griping too much instead of praising your holy name and thanking you for just the many blessings you've given us. Father, we thank you for the examples in your word tonight of those men that were greatly used of thee, that they were laborers truly before you called them. Father, I pray if we're not laborers, help us to be laborers. If we've been whining and complaining, help us not to be whiners and complainers or telling others what to do. Help us to just pitch in and be and submit humbly to those that are in authority and help out and just be a blessing in whatever way we can. Father, now we just thank you and praise you for your word tonight and this time that we've had together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.